You call me teacher and master, and rightly so. It's how we refer to Jesus, and we refer to our mother church as teacher and mother. And as our teacher, she, in her wisdom, tells the priest what to preach on Holy Thursday. Because there's so much in the readings. Each reading lent itself to a full explanation. This season of the Triduum, this ending of Lent, beginning into the Easter celebration, there's so much that we could dive into. The Mother Church tells me to preach on the institution of the Eucharist and the priesthood, and then the washing of the feet. So that's my checklist. But this is a beautiful, beautiful celebration that we've begun this evening. And you may not realize it, but this is the longest Mass of your life. It doesn't end until about 11:30 on Saturday. Get comfortable. As you'll notice, at the end of Mass, there'll be no final blessing, no dismissal. So this is the only time I give you permission to leave Mass before the final blessing. We'll leave in a silent procession, or a chanted procession, behind our Blessed Lord in the Holy Eucharist, as we follow Him into the garden, as we watch and wait and pray. And then tomorrow, Mother Church invites us, her children, back at 3 o'clock to walk through the Passion with our Lord, to venerate the cross. And then to come back on Saturday night and to retell and recount salvation history all throughout the Old Testament. And then once again, with the brightness of the light of Christ in our lives, to rejoice and say that A word that we've been silenced from all Lent long. Mother Church is our mother, and she's our teacher. And as faithful and humble children, as we come to her today and every day, in this sacrifice of the Holy Mass, we seek to learn from her. And she teaches us the truth about the world, about God, and about ourselves. And one of those things that we learn is that we need this Mass. As we heard in the first reading, about the Passover, and that promise of freedom. And we know from our catechism and from our theology that that was a precursor, a preparation for the true Passover, that Christ, who brings us to true freedom, that the Israelites, who were in slavery in Egypt for over 400 years, crossed through the waters of the Red Sea and had freedom, and entered into a covenant relationship with God the Father. We, the children of the church, caught in slavery to sin, enter into the waters of baptism, into a covenant with our Heavenly Father, and are entering into freedom. The children, the Israelites, were given the Passover lamb as a perpetual memorial. Not just a fond memory of something that happened, but as we heard today and as we know the Jewish custom, when they celebrated Passover, they were really there. It wasn't just a memory. But maybe in our own lives we can recall a very exciting moment. That as you tell the story, your mind, your heart, your body goes back to that location. The same smells, the same feels, the same images are there. And sometimes we have less than good experiences. Maybe the first time you watched a scary movie or something traumatic, worse, more traumatic happens to you. As you remember those moments, you're transported back in time. That's the notion of the Passover. And that's the notion of the Holy Eucharist. Is that these sacred events that we're entering into tonight is not just something that happened 2,000 years ago. But tonight, and every time we come to Holy Mass, We are back at Calvary. We're back in the upper room. We're back with Jesus in real time. This is the mystery of liturgy. Every Mass begins with those words. Let us prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. These things, these parts of our lives that, while revealed to us as true and we understand a little bit, we also understand there's so much more that we will never fully comprehend. Much like the love between spouses. We prepare ourselves. We've been preparing ourselves throughout these weeks of Lent for these sacred mysteries. Have we prepared well? Jesus begins this discourse in John chapter 13. This is the Last Supper discourse. It starts in 13 and it goes all the way through John chapter 16 and a half until 17, when he goes out into the garden and he has an intimate conversation with his Father. These words, these prayers of Jesus are for each one of us. As he reveals himself to his closest friends, to his disciples, to each one of us. And these beautiful words that he loved his own, and he loved them to the end. He loved them to the way that they were supposed to be loved. He loved them in the only way that he knew how. For God is love. He can do nothing but love. And how did he begin to reveal his love? He stripped off his garments and he washed their feet. Which I will do after the homily. I will take off my outer garment. I will get down and wash the feet of 12 members of our parish. This sign of service, the Holy Mother Church invites certain young men or not so young men into this service. Not as a champion and lauding myself as a glorious triumphant, but to follow the one who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for the many. So for me, it is fitting that we're celebrating this Mass on my anniversary. Not my priestly anniversary, but my diaconate anniversary, where I gave my life to the service of the church, where I lay down on the floor, and I said yes to my mother and my teacher. I gave my promises of obedience and celibacy, my promises to pray for you, the church. Like Jesus, I stripped myself of earthly glory and I laid down on the floor in the basement to serve you. And why the scandal in the church is such a scandal? Because these men who did that didn't fulfill their promises. Jesus, tonight, as he washes the feet, as he stripped off his garments, this is what love does. Love had already done that. God stripped himself of his divinity and took on our humanity. God gave everything for us. And this foot washing was a preparation for the next day. Because the next day, he didn't only strip off his garments, he stripped off even his humanity to give everything for us, his children. And this is what he was inviting the disciples to do. Some will say the foot washing is the beginning of the ordination rite of those first priests. I'm doing this to you, you must do it for others. You, my first priest, must strip yourselves of everything for the service of the church. This is the nature of the priesthood, a life of service for you. The priest is ordained, we say in fancy Latin words, in persona Christi Capitis, in the person of Christ, the head who serves. And when the priest serves at Mass, he's standing in the person of Jesus Christ. When the priest is in the confessional, he's standing in the person of Jesus Christ. And the church teaches us every time the priest conducts any sacraments, it's Christ who's conducting those sacraments. I'm here in the person of Christ. But I'm also here in the person of the church, in persona Christi Ecclesiae. Because a priest stands in the middle to make intercession for. So in a few moments after we have the offertory, and I say, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable. And you reply, may your sacrifice be acceptable. And I'm asking for our sacrifice individually, and then you give me permission to take your sacrifice with mine and present it to the Heavenly Father. I'm here to stand in your place, to present you to the Father, which is what Jesus is doing in heaven every moment. And he stands to make intercession for us, his children. And this is the power of the symbol of the foot washing. That there's no earthly glory that can stand in the way of love who's willing to die. And this is the great mystery that we prepare ourselves to enter into at every Mass. That love, who stripped himself of divinity, who stripped himself of humanity, comes to us in what looks like a feeble piece of bread. This is what love looks like. This is what love does. Jesus dies for each one of us. He lives for each one of us. He lives in the Holy Eucharist to give us life. Unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you. How do we get life? By receiving the body and blood of our Lord Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. But he told Peter, unless you let me wash your feet, you have no part of me. Unless we've been cleansed, we cannot partake in the Holy Eucharist. And this is what baptism does for us. This is what the Holy Sacrament of Confession does for us. It cleanses us and prepares us to enter into communion with our Heavenly Father. This great mystery that we enter into. That God loves us so much, He died for us. As I said, as the Mass finishes this evening, we will have a procession down the main aisle and around the church into the parish life center. Just as at the end of the Last Supper, Jesus went into the garden and asked the disciples to stay awake and watch and pray. Each one of us has that invitation tonight. Our chapel, our altar will be open until midnight tonight. You have the opportunity to spend time with Jesus when he's in that deep, intimate conversation with his Father. Walk with him tonight. Stay with him tonight. Pray with him tonight.